Good morning, everybody. This is a bit of a different experience, isn't it? We've been through our first week and Paul's message last week. And I'd just like to say thank you to Paul and some of the other tech experts in our church, because without them, we wouldn't be able to do this. Certainly, I wouldn't be able to. And so what I'd like us to do to start with before we have the message proper, which will be from Isaiah 53, but I'd like to just begin by reading Psalm 46. I think it's a wonderful psalm in the midst of the uncertainty and confusion and the fear that is natural for us to be feeling in times when we are separated from each other as well. Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. There's a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her, and she will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in an uproar. Kingdoms fall. God lifts his voice, and the earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see what the Lord has done, the desolations that he has brought on the earth. He makes wars to cease. To the ends of the earth, he breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. He says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress." We're living in days of uncertainty, are we not? And God's voice in it all is, "Be still and know that I am God." We are being called on to make sacrifices in all sorts of areas in our life. Some are having to stay home from work. Some are having to go to work. There's no sport to watch. There's no musicals to go to. There's no coffee shops, restaurants to go to. Some are facing huge financial sacrifices. Businesses are being disrupted and closed down. Jobs are being affected and lost. And the most common sacrifice all of us are having to make is in the physical distancing from friends and even family. And the emotional and physical, personal cost of that is great. But we know that the sacrifice is worth it. In order to overcome the spread of this COVID-19, we know, if we look back in human history, that no great achievement or discovery or breakthrough or victory has ever come without great sacrifice. Now, I'm here today not as a public announcer, but as a servant of God. An even bigger pandemic has had the world in its clutches since just after time began: the sin of rebellion against God. There's no answer to it. There's no antidote for it. and there's no immunization against it. God has put the whole world into isolation from himself. These are the consequences of our rejecting him. But even though he's the one that we've rejected, he has not rejected us. He has removed the isolation, and only he can do it. And once we see this and we turn to him to remove it between us and himself, he will. And this is the whole story of God's dealings with us, recorded down throughout the scriptures from beginning to end. And he does this by making a sacrifice. And he begins to unveil this way back in the Old Testament with experiences and pictures of those experiences between people and himself. And these are like signposts for us to see and understand the plans and the purposes of God. Everything else in history, in a sense, is secondary to God's plan of restoring the world out of isolation from him into close harmony and security and intimacy with him. Now, we began back in the very first book of the Bible, a couple of weeks ago, in Genesis. Here we have a picture of two brothers, Cain and Abel. Both of them wanted to approach God. This was after the isolation had already begun. It had begun with their parents. But in this coming to God, we see in that picture that's painted to us in Genesis that there was one thing that was necessary, and that was a lamb of all things. Cain approached God without a lamb. Abel approached God with a lamb. Abel was accepted, Cain was not. And so we see there a picture of the necessity of a lamb of all things. What is that about? That's all we see in that picture, the necessity. Then we go a little bit further on in that book of Genesis and we come to a father and a son, Abraham and Isaac. Abraham is approaching God. He knows that a sacrifice is called of him. And that sacrifice is his son. And as he's prepared to pay what for a father must be the supreme, almost supreme sacrifice, God stops him and shows that no, the sacrifice that I want you to make is the one that I provide for you. And just then, there's a ram caught in the thicket, just off stage, if you like. And Abraham's able to take that and sacrifice that in place of his son. So here we see there's a twist now. It's not just a lamb, but it's a lamb provided by God. And then the third picture that we looked at was that one of the nation of Egypt that had within it a slave nation of Israelites that they had held in bondage and captivity for 400 years. And God decides to use a particular man, Moses, to liberate the Israelites. And the picture we have in that passage is of doorposts. And some doorposts have red blood smeared across them. And other doorposts have nothing. And in the homes where there was nothing spread over, there was no blood spread over the doorposts, there was great mourning and great grief. And over the doorposts where there was blood in those homes, there was liberation. There was celebration. That was how God delivered the Israelites out of the land of Egypt. What do we see in that picture? Well, we see the blood. So it's not just a lamb. It's not just a lamb provided by God, but it's a lamb that was slain. a lamb that's given up its lifeblood in order for others to be set free. It's a graphic picture that we're given there in the scriptures. Now, as we travel through the rest of the scriptures, these pictures or photos even we could look at them as, become gradually clearer, become gradually sharper. Today, the fourth picture that we have is in the book of Leviticus. Leviticus was the manual of worship, if you like, that was given to the Levites. They were the descendants of Levi, who was the first of the priestly class in the Old Testament. And all the way through this book, there are many, many sacrifices talked about in this book, many, many complicated details, complex situations that make it a complex book to read. But the picture that comes out clearer and clearer as we go through it is that the sacrifice that was to be made was to be a perfect sacrifice. There was to be no blemish in the lambs, no spot, no discoloring, no flaw, no cripple. The lamb had to be perfect. And so here, this next step forward, this next coming into focus of the ultimate picture of God is that the character of the lamb is what becomes all important. Now, I'd like us to turn to the passage that we'll look at today, which is in Isaiah. A great prophet was given unbelievable insight by God into the plans and purposes of God, although, they're not completely focused, not completely clear in their definition. Isaiah 53, let's look at verse 4 onwards. Surely, this is Isaiah 53, verse 4. Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering. Yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him. And by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way. But the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. And he was led like a lamb to the slaughter. And as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. This is a big step forward in God fine-tuning that focus for us onto what he's going to do in order to end the isolation between humanity and himself. Up until now, you see, what we've been looking at is lambs, sacrifices, and they've been lambs, they've been animals. That's what we have always think of when we think of a lamb. But now, for the first time, God opens this up even more and we see that the lamb is going to be a person. Verse 5, verse 6, they're all talking about him. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. A person being crushed for the iniquities of other people. He was oppressed. He was afflicted. The Lord has laid the iniquity of us all on him. All the iniquity of people kind is being now laid on this one, a person. He is led out like a lamb. He isn't a lamb, but like a lamb, to the slaughter. And as a sheep, not a sheep, but as a sheep, before its shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. This is a huge step forward in our understanding of God's plan. The sacrificial lamb is a person. And so if we recap those other things, all of these need to be true of this person in order for them to qualify. This person, this sacrifice, this lamb is a necessity. Only the lamb would do, and only this particular lamb will do. There's no other person. There's no other way. There's no other sacrifice that can be made by any other animal or person in that matter. This person is provided by God. You see what it says? The Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. And this person has to be spotless in character. Now, as we think of this, there are many questions that come into our mind. Who could this lamb be? Who could this person be? Who would qualify for such a role? And the mysterious thing is that the Old Testament, full as it is with so much sacrifices and all of that whole religious system, the Old Testament finishes with those begging questions being unanswered. All people knew was that God would provide salvation. All they knew was that this salvation would be that which they were needing, that which they were waiting for from the fatal disease of sin that was separating them from each other, from God, and even separating themselves from themselves. But how would this happen? Who is Isaiah talking about? Who is such a spotless person as this? Well, the answer to that is over into the New Testament. And that answer is the greatest story that has ever been told. And next time, we'll be looking into the New Testament, into the Gospel of John, and we'll see there God opening up an even greater and even better and even clearer and clearer and clearer picture of who this lamb would be. That's for another time. Let's bow together in prayer. Dear loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you that your love is far, far greater, infinitely greater than all of our struggles and all of our needs, all of our flaws, all of our faults, all of our sins. Father, we thank you that you love us and that you're merciful and you're gracious. And we know, Father, that that grace is extended to all people of all time. As you unbolt your door and fling it open, loving Father, we just give you thanks. We give you thanks, and that in this day and age in which we live, more and more people will, even in the hardships, and because of the hardships, Father, turn to you, turn to the scriptures, begin to consider what you have to say to mankind, what you have to say in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray, Father, that the Holy Spirit will be at work, not just in us, but in all people, opening their eyes to see. Loving Father, we would just pray for our world. Pray for the people in our world. Beyond our grasp, beyond our ability, beyond our understanding to be able to do that, Father. But all we pray, Lord, as this virus affects so many people and brings devastation to many, loving Heavenly Father, it will be a time and a moment where people will look up, that you'll raise their eyes, Father, to see you and see you in the clear picture that you have given to us in the Lord Jesus, the person of Christ, with his love and his compassion, his power and his wonderful, wonderful strength. Loving Father, we pray for our own members in our church, flung around the different suburbs. In one sense, physically cut off from one another, Father, but we thank you that through the Holy Spirit we are one. We are present with each other moment by moment. And we pray for one another in this union that we have. We pray for those who have to go to work, Father, because their work involves essential services, and for the risk that they run in that, Lord. Protect them, we pray. Give them peace of mind. Help them to know that you are at work in them and through them, touching people's lives. For those, Father, who have to stay home, for those who are going through some financial strain, difficulty because of that, loving Heavenly Father, help these ones to look to you and turn to you and put their trust in you. Help us as a church fellowship, Lord, to be mindful of those who need physical help may need some sort of provision in some way, shape or form. Help us, Father, to keep in touch with one another. Help us to go those extra moments, those extra miles, to reassure one another of our thinking of them and our love for them. Those of us, Lord, who are cut off from families at this time, loving Father, we pray that you'll give us new ways, creative ways, to reach out in love to them, that there will be no distance emotionally in those that we have to keep distant from at this present time. Loving Father, we pray for our older folk, those that the media are saying are more vulnerable, Lord. We pray for them. Pray that you'll help them, Lord, to be at peace, to know that you are overruling all things, that you have them in your eyes and in your hands. And we know, Lord, all of us, that ultimately our security is in you. Ultimately, our identity is in you. Ultimately, Father, our futures are in your hands. And we know, loving Heavenly Father, that all things in this life, nothing at all can separate us from your love, your presence, your closeness with us. May we all not just experience that, Father, but may we be conduits for that, channels to bring the peace of your presence into other people's lives, through letters, through phone calls, through smiles, through texts, through emails, through whatever way we can, loving Heavenly Father. But primarily, we pray for our nation, that you would help them to turn to you in this time of trial, in this time of difficulty, that they would realise, Father, that in the midst of all that we can do as humanity in finding cures and finding antidotes and immunizations, that loving Father, we all need you in our life. So loving Father, bless us and continue to use us as your people in the world in which we live at this time. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a God-centered week, and we'll look forward to talking on the phone or in the texting or even gathering here again in spirit for next week's message. Thank you.